This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, get your golf shoes on, get the clubs out, and settle up next to the radio. We're calling you to the tee. The show is Golfers on Golf. We're going to be bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective for the next hour, and lots to talk about, especially with the Illinois Open just wrapping up the championship, Illinois PGA's championship here in the state of Illinois. But of course, also, you know, heading in towards the FedEx Cup playoffs, the PGA Tour is in action. We have events coming to Chicago soon. So stay tuned for the next hour. We've really got a lot to chat about with you here in studio this morning. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside journalist Rory Spears, and Bill Berger is out this week. But of course, we have the Illinois Golf Hall of Famer and journalist Len Zien joining us on the line as well from parts of Florida this week. Or
the beautiful Palmer Studios in Sarasota, Florida.
Well, there it is. So
that's home, I got to tell you. It's home. It's 95 degrees, but it's warm, but it's home.
Well, it's a bit of a rainy morning here in Chicago. I know it hasn't slowed down the golfers. There's been a tremendous appetite for golf everywhere as we continue to be really enjoying what's been a boom for the golf industry. But a little bit of rain, that's not going to scare anyone off, because we know here, maybe not in Florida for you, Len, but here it won't be long. We've made it to August. Won't be long before we're looking at leaves turning and talking about wind chills. So try to get every bit out of this golf season that we can.
And we want to go visit Len.
That's where Len's got the jump start on that. Pretty smart.
Yeah, well, we've got a couples event tomorrow, so we'll be in some competition. But the I tell you, what we need here is rain. This is it's getting scary out here. We've hardly had, there were 16 inches below what we should normally be at this time of the year, and it's taken its toll on all the courses around here, including the one right outside my window. So we can only hope that changes in the next few days.
Wow, 16 inches is actually hard to comprehend. I know in the Chicago area, we were well behind, and then the month of July rolled along, and we got caught up in a hurry, had one of the rainier Julys on record. But I got to tell you, lots of places actually looking beautiful right now and benefiting from the rain we got after pulling out of some droughts. So, Len, we don't need any more. We'll try to send some your way. But
that would be a blessing.
But with tournament season, especially getting ready to continue on here in the Chicago area, we're definitely not looking for rain. I know later in the show we're going to be speaking with Kerry Williams, the executive director for the Illinois PGA, and we'll get a chance to really dive into the Illinois Open. It was an exciting event. I know it went to extra holes this year. Vince India was the champion, and he's one of 15 individuals who's managed to win the Illinois Open multiple times. But Rory, did you get the chance to spend some of your week on site during the Illinois Open? Or I know you were out there for some of the media events.
I made it out to Flossmoor for media day in advance of the championship. And what I found was that Flossmoor Golf Club, as it's called now, is just an absolutely outstanding historical venue. Tip of the cap in golf visor, as we like to say, to George Goetsch and his partners and everybody at Flossmoor for really putting that course into condition, and also with an assist from architect Ray Hearn, who has come down and helped recapture some of the historic design and the features that are part of that great golf course. And you got to like the fact that, You know, you buy a golf club right before COVID hits with 89 members, and you think the worst, and the next thing you know, you have almost 300. And a great venue that could be used for any of the majors that the Illinois PGA section puts on. And we'll talk more a little bit with that about with Carrie Williams when she joins us at the bottom of the hour. But, you know, there's one thing that's been making the news in golf the last couple of days, and that's that people are starting to put together at the national publications next year's PGA Tour schedule.
Okay.
And it's becoming apparent where the money's going, which tournaments are going to get status. And Golf Digest did an interesting story yesterday or the day before about who the winners and losers are in professional golf in 2024. And again, they mentioned that the PGA Tour is struggling and not bringing events to the major markets of the United States of America, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Chicago. They considered all of those markets, in essence, losers. Huh. And certain tournaments were listed as losers. And on the loser list was the John Deere Classic, along with last week's tournament up in Minnesota, and also, I believe, one of the tournaments from down in Texas. And, you know, when you look there and you see, well, next year the golf fans of Chicago are going to be the losers. The people who come out to the John Deere Classic are going to be losers. You know, Ed, it really hits home. It doesn't say much for professional golf in the state of Illinois.
Well, it does. You know, we've had one thing we could count on, and that's been the presence of the John Deere Classic in so many ways. In this show, I think we've talked about it being really a great model for what a tour event can be. It's connected so deeply with that community. It supports so many charities. And my goodness, the storylines it has been able to crank out with dramatic finishes. It really, I think, in so many ways demonstrates the things that are so good about the PGA Tour and what it can mean. And then, of course, although we will enjoy having the BMW Championship, you know, tied back to the WGA and formerly the Western Open in town this year, we obviously don't get a steady presence there. So certainly, you know, with change, we see it across all of sports. Big news yesterday of really the Pac-12 falling apart and conference realignment in football. But we're seeing things and largely money that are driving, sounds like apparently driving the schedule for PGA Tour golf as well. And that's with many details waiting to be seen about this merger between PGA Tour and LIV.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And we're proud to announce that Golfers on Golf Radio and GolfersOnGolf.com have been, shall we say, re-upped for another year through our friends at Rich Harvest Farms and the LIV Golf Tour. And we'll be promoting a lot of what they are going to bring to Rich Harvest Farms all the way through the end of our season here, which will be Saturday, September 23rd. And we hope to hear from some of the people at Rich Harvest, some of the people connected to LIV Golf, and maybe perhaps even one or two of their players on time when they have weeks off. So that's sort of a developing thing. But you can also go to livegolf.com and see get tickets for Rich Harvest Farms. Also, if you enjoy LIV Golf, they are at the Greenbrier Resort this weekend out in West Virginia on the classic old white Seth Rayner golf course, which is a real gem to play and was redone a few years ago by Keith Foster after the floods that came through and really did a lot of damage in the area. Lenny, you know, I got to think that you have some thoughts on how publications are already looking at Illinois and the tournaments played in it as some of the losers on next year's calendar.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that comes to mind on this is I've got to take kind of a swipe at some of my media friends here. The PGA Tour had announced that there would be no comment on what the new schedules would be until they come out this Tuesday. And now we've had a lot of quote inside information unquote, which has been, some of which has been refuted. And I prefer to kind of just wait to see what is actually going to happen on Tuesday. But another thing here is that the live schedule isn't out. I mean, this is they're supposed to be merging. They're supposed to be working together, and it doesn't appear that that does matter. It does matter where Liv is going to be playing all next year. That we've got a lot of information to gather before we can start judging what the 2024 season is going to be. It's a little disturbing that some of this stuff is coming out now. I'm used to seeing the PGA Tour schedule come out a little later than this, and it's old news that they always say, well, the Poor John Deere Classic. Well, Poor John Deere Classic has put on a darn good tournament for years and years and years without getting the fields that, they would hope to get. I don't feel sorry for the John Deere. They're perfectly going to be perfectly fine if the dates that has been offered here are materialized. Wow. I think they'll do just fine. So, we've got a lot to look ahead to. I'm reluctant to get too into this scheduling until we see both the LIV schedule and the PGA Tour schedule and everything else. There's too many ifs out there.
Well, agreed, Len. More information is always good. And you're right. Remains to be seen. And I think that the knock on the position for the potential John Deere scheduling is that it would be competing against the Scottish Open and the week before the British Open, which I got to say, if anybody right. knows how to thrive in that spot on the schedule, the John Deere Classic has plenty of history there. But lots we'll look forward to, of course. As we continue here in 2023, there's been a pretty tremendous tournament season, especially locally. Some terrific events have wrapped up just recently, Roy.
Yeah, the Illinois Open and also the Illinois Women's Open, right. The Phil Kozin Illinois Women's Open that takes place at one of the great golf operations around the Chicago area. And I call them that because they're not just a summer platform. They are an all-year platform with Mistwood Golf Club and the Mistwood Golf Dome over in Bolingbrook. And to tell us a little bit more about everything Mistwood is their director of golf, Andy Michelson. Andy, how are you this morning?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, Andy, I know one of the weeks that you look forward to is a competitive playing Illinois PGA section professional, the Illinois Open, and maybe it didn't end the way you wanted it to. But first off, if you can, give us your thoughts on the Flossmoor Golf Course. I know I can speak from having seen it out there on Media Day and look at where that club was a few years ago. It seems like it was an excellent selection by the executive committee and the board to take the Illinois Open out there.
Yeah, I mean, owner George Goich, allowing us to get out there and play such a great golf course is just so cool. I thought it was perfect. I think it's an absolutely perfect setup, perfect venue for a championship like that. Look, the Illinois Open is supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be conditions you might not normally see with green speeds at that high of a level, with rough at that high level, and puts a premium on good play. And honestly, the best player that was in the field, Vince India, ended up winning. So you have to say it was a pretty good Open.
Well, Andy, I have to ask you also on the other side of the coin, the Illinois Women's Open, which is much closer to home for you. It's been held at Mistwood now for quite a long set of years. And tell us about the excitement it brings to you and your staff to prepare Mistwood Golf Club to host the best women's players, I was going to say, from the state of Illinois. But as we all know, they come from beyond the state's borders these days.
Yeah, I mean, this year was another good championship. We had Grace Curran, who is nice and close to home. She's been playing competitive golf out at Mistwood and different events over the years. So it was cool to see her finally break through and win. And she played excellent for two straight days. But yeah, we had the golf course in perfect shape, exactly how we wanted it. Just for us, every year it's complicated because we're trying to get the absolute best field, not only from the state of Illinois, from both a professional and amateur side, but we're also trying to attract talent from, you know, around the area, even Epson Tour. And we had this year we were trying struggling between two dates, and so originally we wanted to go out with June, and found out that the women's amateur in the state of Illinois were going to be happening on the same date that we wanted to go, because of the fact that the Epson Tour was right in our area. They were in Michigan for that 3-week span, so we were trying to get it in June. We found a date in July that worked, but it's just always trying to find the right dates, the right times to attract as much talent as you possibly can, because, you know, we want this thing to be, you know, one of the premier, you know, state opens, if not just professional events in the Midwest. So that's our goal every year.
Yeah, Andy, Ed Stevenson here, and you guys have made such a tremendous commitment to that event, and really day in and day out show such a commitment to public golf too, and you've got just a large contingency of regulars and people who enjoy Mistwood. They call it home. Not only are you trying to fit that tournament into the broader tournament schedule regionally, but against what I know has been just unprecedented demand from those folks that love going to Mistwood day in and day out. So when it comes to making that commitment to the event and setting those days aside, you know, I know it means a lot to your staff. You've got such great players and have so much fun there with your team. But maybe talk a little bit, I mean, for your customers, too, and the regulars, the people that love calling Mistwood home. You must get some pretty great feedback for them seeing tournament golf played on their course.
Yeah, and everybody embraces it, right? I mean, everybody knows it's going to be a regular event on our calendar. We have a number of our members actually volunteer during the event, whether it's scorekeeping or spotting or just being part of it. So, we have the support all the way up from our ownership, through our staff, through our regular players and our members. So, it's really cool to see. We also have some of the local high schools chip in that call Mistwood home during the fall, and they come in and chip in for the event to just kind of make it that much more special. So it's really cool to see how everybody embraces it.
Andy, it's been a couple of years since Mistwood sadly lost its leader, Jim McWethy, and tell us about Mistwood since its passing. I know the Mistwood has continued to grow and evolve, and what's it been like for you and the rest of the team to work under the leadership of Jim's kids, who are now the owners of the golf club?
Yeah, honestly, nothing's changed. I mean, for us, we still have the same vision, the same same outlook long term. You know, to their credit, nothing has changed. We, you know, right before Jim's passing, we actually all came together and made a long term commitment to Mistwood and making sure that everything was in the right place. And, you know, COVID just happened to happen just after, you know, his passing and the boom in golf. And so, you know, we're still optimistic. We're still looking for new opportunities. I mean, whether that comes in golf course space, whether that comes in, you know, creating new dome spaces, I still think that market's pretty wide open. Especially in northern Illinois and even southern Wisconsin. So those are things that we're actively looking at and just literally trying to max out what we can in the Chicagoland footprint, you know, because golf demand is unprecedented right now. So we're just trying to satisfy, you know, every need that we can.
1018, Golfers on Golf Radio, Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson in studio. Len Zeem is with us from the Palm Air Country Club Studios in Sarasota, Florida, and we're talking for a few minutes with Andy Michelson, the director of golf at Mistwood. Lenny, what do you got for Andy about Mistwood?
You know, I tell you, this is not exactly a question for Andy, but I'd be interested in the thoughts here. There was an accomplishment last week that I don't think has been fully appreciated. The Illinois Open champion, Vince India, come tomorrow, he will have played in, I can't imagine how he pulled this off. He would be playing in 11 straight days of tournament rounds. He played four at the Glen Club, then he won the Illinois Open. And then he's playing out in Utah. I didn't know how he could even just logistically handle all that he did there. But I've never heard of a player quite doing that well. And you know, Vince hadn't been having a very good season, but the win at the Illinois Open kind of ignited him. Andy, have you ever heard of a player taking on that much day after day after day, maybe in a tour qualifying school or something, but I never have heard anything like that.
Yeah, not to that extreme, but I played for a little bit when I came out of college. There's times like that where, and there's thousands of guys doing it right now, right, where, you know, you'll play in these state opens and then try and find your way to, you know, if you tried to Monday qualify for a Korn Ferry event or whatever. I've never heard of this many days in a row like he's playing. But, there's thousands of guys chasing it. It's kind of interesting when I get in these pairings of the Illinois Open. I'm now the old guy. Actually, the first 2 days, if you put the two guys together, equaled my age of 42, which is kind of scary. But, it's cool to see this many guys trying to basically follow their dreams and play professionally. And the thing about golf is you never know. You know, you could have a hot run and then all of a sudden, you know, changes your life. Look at Zach Johnson. I can remember playing in the Waterloo Open back in like 2002 or 2003. He wins that. You know, he's kind of a little mini tour legend, and then all of a sudden breaks through on the Korn Ferry, and now he's a Ryder Cup captain. So, I mean, that's the beauty of golf, right? Golf gives you opportunities, and you know, the ones that capitalize on those opportunities are legends. So, I mean, it's a really cool game.
Andy, mm-hmm. Andy, what is it like for you and your staff to sort of transition the golf operation a couple of times a year, first coming out of winter and moving back to Misswood Golf Club over in Romeoville, and then as you get just past Halloween, shutting down the outdoor side and moving everything over, including the lessons and the club fitting to the best golf dome in the Chicagoland area, the Misswood Golf Dome over in Bolingbrook?
It's a hassle. it's tough because we share our staffs. So, months of April and as we get into like October and November, it's definitely challenging because we're trying to run both places at the same time. But, you know, we've got a good staff of guys. I mean, we've got kind of a seasoned crew that's been with us for, you know, at the minimum, it seems like 5 years. Some guys with us for 15 years. So it's like we know what we're doing every single year. And honestly, we're kind of have all the same vision. We all stay pretty hungry. We're all, you know, looking to do the next best thing. I think we're pretty well aligned on wanting to always kind of be pursuing, you know, what's better, what's next, what's out there. So it's usually not too hard to get everybody on board and go, okay, this is going to be the tough month, and we're just going to get through it and keep pushing. So it's just a good environment. We make sure to mix in plenty of golf. You know, our guys are playing, you know, at least once a week with members. Like on Fridays, we have a Friday game every week, and it's important to not forget that you're a golf professional, and, you know, above all else, you got in this game because you love the game of golf. So why not at least have that be part of your work-life balance as well?
Well, Andy, you might have beat me to the answer on the question I was going to ask. I mean, truly, it's become a year-round business for your team, and it has for so many folks in the golf industry, even here in this market. And you know, sometimes you turn the corner from July to August, and in busy years, in high peak demand times, it can start to become a grind. And yet, you know, your team seems to keep it fresh, and has such a fun presence, even the social media presence being part of it. Finding that balance and keeping everyone engaged and hungry, what's the secret? Obviously, getting out and playing and remembering you're a golf professional is part of it. But I guess, you know, what are the other cornerstones that are part of really the Mistwood culture that you perpetuate?
I mean, honestly, our guys aren't completely overworked or overtaxed. I mean, we try to keep a pretty steady work environment where it's, you know, 5 days, 6 days, kind of alternating on different weeks, try to not overwork the guys, just kind of keep that perspective that there needs to be some type of balance in your life. We're not working guys open to close. Honestly, you know, it's kind of like the if you build it, they will come type of thing. I know we have a bigger team than most, and you know, that's on purpose. And what we've seen is that when we invest in our people and we invest in, in what we're doing, it pays dividends from the financial side. We have one of the largest club fitting operations on the green grass side, literally in the Midwest. We have one of the largest teaching operations from a service and dollar standpoint here in the state of Illinois. And people are coming to those and they're attracted to those, and we're keeping our guys fresh. And so the services that they're providing to the customers are at a really, really high level. So it's just kind of it's a good ecosystem. I can't take credit for it myself, but I try to do my best in making sure that we do all stay fresh. We all stay informed. We all stay on the same page. I mean, that's a big thing too, is communication. I feel like communication that we have in our work environment is probably a little bit more business-like than a lot of courses. You know, we have pretty regular meetings with the whole team, making sure that we're all on the same page. We know what each other's doing. You know, we share our successes and we share our failures. So I think that's important to keep everybody engaged and everybody wanting to do what's best for themselves and what's best for Mistwood.
Well, and it sounds like in that respect, you truly are carrying out what Rory alluded to earlier, the Jim McQuethy vision and approach. There's no doubt in really the evolution of Mistwood into what it is today, that being complete and having all those parts and pieces as part of the ecosystem was definitely part of the vision, and Mistwood wouldn't be the way it is today without that.
Well, Andy, I got to ask you, every so many years, golf courses are like your house, they're your car, they need a little upkeep, a little tune-up. Is the golf course, well, where's it at right now? Is there a need to have architect Ray Hearn come back and take a look at his handiwork? And I know that coming up on your calendar also is a day of golf in honor of Jim McQuethy. Tell us about both things.
Yeah, we're always looking at better each and every year. We've invested a little bit more in basically the course condition and making sure that the course is playing a little bit firmer just throughout the year. We've changed kind of the way that we've done our watering, some of our top dressing schedules. We're top dressing fairways, top dressing greens on a much more regular basis. Just really trying to firm out the golf course to give it that little more links feel. The feedback that we get from our customers and members is they'd love to see a firmer golf course, so we're trying to pursue that. And that's not a 1 year thing. That's going to be a 10-year plan to get it in the condition that we want. We've also gone to what's kind of traditionally called the Billy Bunker system. So that's a 2 year project. We have 22 stack sidewall bunkers that we're in the process of replacing. So we're trying to do some of that work in the off season. There's going to be maybe a little bit of that work as we get into kind of the collar seasons, like fall and spring. But that's a massive project, but that's for the long-term sustainability. You know, stack sidewall bunkers tend to fail in about 10-year periods. And with this new bunkering system, it can be a 50 to 60 year, time before it fails. So, that's kind of one of the things that we're focusing on the golf course wise. McQuethy Cup is September 14th. You know, this event has evolved. It used to be basically gathering at Jim's friends, a couple media types like you guys would come on out and play. And it was just like a nice, fun day, just basically a celebration of Jim's birthday in the past. And so when he passed away, we all got together and thought, you know, why don't we kind of get behind some of the things that he was really passionate about and create an event that our members would get around, his friends would get around, and honestly, just the golf public in general in Chicago would get around. So we evolved it into an event. Last year we raised $28,000 for PGA Hope, which is an unbelievable
awesome
charity.
Yeah.
Helping our veterans get onto the golf course is kind of their rehabilitation back into society, more or less. So we have plans to do that. We have a few other local veterans charities. Jim was very passionate about those causes. So we have a few other local veterans charities that we're also going to be bringing into fold this year. So we're excited for the event. Last year was a pretty good success for kind of just throwing it all together, but I think this year's going to be big. It's going to be a sellout. So what a great way to honor a great man who's passionate about golf and passionate about this country, honestly.
Yeah, well, Andy Michelson, director of golf, Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville, also the Mistwood Golf Dome over in Bolingbrook. Andy, thanks for joining us here for a few minutes on Golfers on Golf Radio, and we look forward to seeing you out at Mistwood Golf Club one of these days in the soon future ahead of us.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
All right, it is 10:30. We're going to take a break. We will be back with Illinois PGA Executive Director Kerry Williams right after this. Mistwood Golf Club, located on Renwick Road in Romeoville, is one of the Chicago area's finest public golf facilities, where golfers find a commitment to excellence by the owners, the McWethy family. Mistwood Golf Club, designed and renovated by architect Ray Hearn, is a links-style golf course with 20 sidewall bunkers like those found in Scotland or Ireland. Mistwood has played host to several championships, including the state amateur, and it's the yearly home of the Illinois Women's Open. The driving range and performance center comes with natural grass hitting areas and indoor hitting bays, perfect for lessons, practice, or club fittings. Before or after your round, stop in and enjoy the bar and grill in the performance center or dining in McWethy's Tavern in the main clubhouse. So make your tee times today by calling 815-254-3333 or visit online mistwoodgc.com. Erin Hills, one of Wisconsin's top public golf destinations and a top 100 rated golf course, is ready to welcome golfers to a championship golf experience. Erin Hills is where you can enjoy walking on the rolling hills of the Kettle Moraine area just northwest of Milwaukee. Erin Hills has already hosted four USGA championships, including the U.S. Amateur and the 2017 U.S. Open. Now, a fifth USGA championship is coming in 2025, and this time it's the ladies' turn when the Women's U.S. Open arrives. It's also one of six U.S. Open courses open for public play. Now at Erin Hills is the 63,000-square-foot putting green, the Drumlin, open for unlimited use for those with a scheduled tee time. While at Erin Hills, you can stay in rooms over the Irish pub or in one of the several cottages right on property. During the warm days of summer, enjoy beverages like a Fescue Rescue or a cold Erin Hills Pilsner. So book your tee times now, because tee times and rooms are going quickly. So book your play and stay by calling Erin Hills at 866-772-4769 or visit erinhills.com.
All right, it's just past 10:30. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears and our co-host Len Ziem. And, guys, we've been talking a lot about tournament season, of course, on the PGA Tour. This is the final week before the FedEx Cup playoffs, and the number of players that are trying to maybe make the push to get into that top 70 and be part of the FedEx Cup playoffs moving forward. I know one that we were watching closely with a sort of Illinois perspective here was Kevin Streelman. Kevin Streelman's had a streak of 16 straight years of making it into the FedEx Cup playoffs, and was outside of that top 70 heading in as of 2 weeks ago, had a tie for second place, really strong finish up in Minnesota at the 3M, which put him, 80-something, still outside of the top 70, and needed another strong showing this week to get there. Unfortunately, Kevin Streelman did not make it, but lots of intrigue and, you know, some other players that are trying to keep their season going as we move forward. And Len, have you been keeping tabs on the PGA Tour this week? And any thoughts as we're heading into the FedEx Cup season?
Yeah, you know, it looks like the only player we're going to get out of our Chicago area in the FedEx playoffs is Nick Hardy. He's number 48 right now, and he made the cut. He had a good start at 70-65 at the Wyndham, so he's pretty solid. He'll be in the first round for sure, and hopefully he'll play well enough to be at Olympia Fields for the second round. The other guys, I'm afraid there isn't much. It's hard to give him a lot of hope there. The Northwestern player Dylan Wu, he made the cut at the Wyndham, but he's down. He's number 85, so he's got to climb 15 spots in the next 2 days. That's pretty tough. Doug Gim, I'm afraid he made the cut too, but he's further back. He's at 117th, and another Northwestern alum, Lipsky, he's 96. So that accounts for about everybody that would have a Chicago connection. Other than Luke Donald, had a good round yesterday, but he's way far back. He hasn't played that much, but. You know, it'll be at least good that Nick gets in. It's sure he's going to be in the first round, and hopefully the second as well. So that's somebody to root for.
Well, thank you, Nick Hardy. For keeping us with some representation there. And I know more broadly outside of Illinois, there were some perennial stars on the PGA Tour that were also trying to make a push. Justin Thomas, Adam Scott, Shane Lowry, and of course. You know, it won't be long until we're talking about Ryder Cup selections. So always an interesting time of year, even as we start to think about football and baseball gets a little more exciting. The intention here of the FedEx Cup playoffs was to really keep some intrigue and interest as we get in the later part of the season. And in the years it's been around, I think it's successfully done that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, we've been talking about tournaments. We have tournament action going on right now out in the North Shore Country Club in Glenview. It's the semifinals of the historic 121st Western Amateur Championship. And some of the former champions were playing very well as the week progressed out of stroke play into match play. But the championship match for 1 o'clock this afternoon is starting to shape up. As Kazuma Kobori is a 6-5 winner over Matthew McLean this morning in the semifinal match, and he's going to get a little bit of a rest break before he has to tee off this afternoon with a big victory, because the other match has it's a good one. Christian Moss and Drew Goodman are fighting it out, and Moss has a one-up lead only through 11, so that's a match that could go all the way down to the last hole or even extra holes to decide who the other person is going to be in the championship match this afternoon. So exciting times at North Shore Country Club. By the way, admission is free, parking is free. Get on out and see some great golf, amateur golf, one of the best amateur tournaments in the world, right here in town in Glenview.
Yeah, well, Rory, it is exciting, and that is a venue. I think part of what's great is getting out, even a chance to spectate and be at some of these venues, some of these private clubs that perhaps you're not going to get a chance to play, but even as a spectator for these events, you can go and get a taste of some of the history and watch some great amateur golf.
Yeah, you sure can. Len Zeem, you've covered your share of Western amateurs. Any one of them that bring back some memories? And we've seen some of the great players not only playing it and not win it, but also win it as well.
Well, I think the most interesting win was one that was unexpected, Dylan Meyer beating Sam Horsfield. And Sam was really considered the class of the amateur ranks the year that happened. And, Dylan came up and kind of surprised him. But, Kobori, we bring about that one today. You know, in the round of 16, he drew Mac McClure, the two-time Illinois State amateur champion, and Mac took him to 20 holes before losing. So not good to lose, but it looks like Mac, it took a very good player to knock Mac out of the tournament. But that is a great, you know, I think that is, with its 72 holes of stroke play and all the rounds of match play involved, that's the most physically demanding tournament out there, probably in the in the ranks of amateur golf. That's it really takes a strong, not just a strong golfer, but a strong guy physically. And it's really top players have won that. Nicklaus has won it. Mickelson's won it. Woods has won it. it's probably the premier event in amateur golf circles.
It's 10:40. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears in studio. We're chatting with Len Ziem from the Palmer Studios down in Florida. We had hoped to speak with Kerry Williams, the Illinois PGA Executive Director, this morning. She has just notified us that, unfortunately, she will not be able to join us this morning. So we look forward to having her on in the next week or two to talk about some of the events going on in the Illinois PGA section, both on and off the golf course. And, you know, Len, we heard Andy Michelson talk about some of the money that they raised for PGA Hope, an event and a thing that's going on through the section for our veterans. And that seems to be one of the better foundation things that the Illinois PGA does, along with their famed Birdies for Charity event that takes place at River Forest Country Club the day after Labor Day.
Yeah, the Illinois PGA does a great job of raising money. This week, it's interesting to bring this up. The Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities event used to be the biggest, I think, of the charity events in the Chicago area, but it couldn't be held around the pandemic for a couple of years. It's at Twin Orchard, so it went from two courses down to one. But that's on tap for this Wednesday, so that's something to look forward to. There doesn't seem like we don't have the celebrity events that we used to have, but they're thanks to the Illinois PGA largely, and a few of the clubs are still putting on events. Golf is still a very very successful fundraising tool for a lot of well-deserving places out there. So it's good that's always going to be a part of golf, hopefully, and I'm sure it will be.
Well, Len, you're right. I think that charitable component is deep in the DNA of golf, and certainly I can tell you as someone that operates multiple public facilities, in my case for the Fourth District of DuPage County, we are very proud to be the venue at Maple Meadows and the Preserve at Oak Meadows for events that raise significant dollars for some pretty amazing causes. And actually, there's one that really we connect with pretty closely coming up on this Monday. You know, our very own PGA head professional, Jamie Nieto, his story is well, I think, well known, and the way he's carried on from some of his own personal adversity has been an inspiration to many. Jamie's a burn survivor and has mm-hmm. gone on to a tremendous career. He's this year the national recipient of the Deacon Palmer Award from the PGA of America, which really recognizes somebody who's overcome adversity and actually used it to go on and help inspire others. And Jamie and a close associate of his, a gentleman named Tony Gonzalez, have put together now for quite a few years a annual event that raises money to support other burn survivors and with mentorship and support opportunities. And they're now linked up with the Phoenix Society, a group that specifically raises funds for burn survivors and education. And I know Monday their event is going to be hosted at the Preserve at Oak Meadows. So they've got a full field and raise a significant sum of money to go and help others that are learning to deal with some of the adversity that they've experienced. So that's one example. There's so many others just like it. And really, it's you know, Rory, it's at the core of what I think golf can mean to a community beyond just a place to go have fun and blow off some steam.
Yeah, it sure is, Ed. And you know what? You know, a few weeks back, I heard from a few of the ladies that are holding an upcoming charity golf classic. And if you want to actually get out and play some golf at Medina, no, not on number three, the championship course. It's still torn up and it won't be open until 2024. But on their number one course, Researchers Golf Classic is Monday, August 21st at Medina Country Club on course number one. And the website there is researchersgolfclassic.org, and it's tied in with the American Cancer Society. And if cancer's hit too close to home for you or family members or friends, this is a way to get out and contribute to all the people who do good work in trying to fight cancer and different forms of it that affects so many people in so many different ways. And I believe there's still some places available to go on out and play golf at Medina just a couple of weeks from now with the American Cancer Society Research HERS Golf Classic. And I believe some of the funds go towards some of the different cancers that are more frequently found with women than men. But it'll be a fun event at the same time, a good cause, so I'm told. So researchersgolfclassic.org and a day of golf and fun out at Medina Country Club. Lenny, I know that you, even though you've been back to Florida, there's a lot of things sort of happening still on the travel side out there. What have you heard lately, and what have you seen? Because I know a couple of the publications have come out with travel issues, and it seems like there's a lot of destination properties still getting better.
Yeah, of course, number one on that list, I have two very favorites that have really been doing tremendous things, and one is Boyne out in Michigan. It's it's a three resort complex out there with the courses there, but they've been working especially hard on one of their all their courses have been working hard, but they've been having Ray Hearn as overseeing the projects at all three courses. He's taken him and Bernie Friedrich over there have taken on the goal of studying all the holes at all three of the courses and developing a 10-year plan as to what they want to do to transform the club. And that's only they started it last year. The big project now is the building of a new par three course that's looks to me like it's only in the I just got back from there. It's only in the infant stages of development, but looks to me like it's going to be really a nice addition to Boyne. And the other place, of course, is much closer to home, the Eagle Ridge Resort in Galena, always been a favorite of mine, and I know yours as well. Mark Klausner, the owner there, who took over 4 years ago, and he has led a huge projects over there. The most notable one, which I just got in saw, is the new spa over there, which is very state of the art. About three times the size of the old one, and it's one project after another. That resort continues to get better and better, and pretty exciting every time you come and see them, just what new things are being taken on. So those are the two main ones that I have dealt with out there, but of course we always have good things going on at French Lick in Indiana, and our Florida people here are just kind of ready to announce some of the things that are going out here, which we can bring up as we get closer to the LIV tournament at Rich Harvest Farms.
Yeah, I know it's going to be an interesting run here. Still, the BMW Championship's just a couple of weeks away, but that's not really the end of tournament golf. We're going to have 5-6 weeks as we lead on the road to Rich Harvest Farms and LIV Golf coming back to Sugar Grove again this year. And I know Jerry Rich and his team of people and some of the people I've connected with that will be working with LIV through the tournament are very excited about the return out here. We're going to have to see if Cam Smith can win the individual tournament again, defend his title, and Dustin Johnson's team, I believe, of Four Aces will be trying to defend their title on the team side of things. So interesting golf. We'll have a lot more on Live Golf at Rich Harvest Farms over the next several weeks. We're going to be ramping up towards that. One thing that came apparent to me within the last week, and managed to talk to a couple people connected to the club, and it sounds like one of the next major renovation projects in town is going to be happening at the Evanston Golf Club Country Club, that's actually located in Skokie, I believe. But
Of course it is.
Yeah, sure it is.
None of them are in the towns they're named for.
Yeah, isn't the Skokie Club in Glenview or Glencoe or something like that? But yeah, they all move around a little bit. But I'm told that the course will be open through Memorial Day weekend next year, and then it'll be closed for at least a year as they renovate that course over there. The word is that architect Tyler Ray, who's been doing some work at Northmoor in the North Shore, might be heading up the renovation work on that project. And also, Lenny, I don't know if you've heard more from some of the people you and I talked to up in Wisconsin, but I understand this week TPC Wisconsin, the golf club in Steve Stricker's backyard up there in Madison, is getting ready to reopen. Now, I understand, unlike TPC Deer Run, it'll be a private facility, but for a time being, there could be some limited public play as they recruit members and perhaps a variety of business and charity outings as that club comes back online.
Yeah, that's a course in Madison there that I have not played that, but we drove by it when we were on our last trip there. We about 3-4 weeks ago. And I'd like to try to work that one out because that, anything Steve Stricker's connected with is going to be first class. And Wisconsin is just, it's just the latest in a long line of new spectacular golf developments in that state. I'm amazed at how fast things have come on there with the, probably started with Black Wolf Run and grown from there across the state, making Wisconsin one of the best states for golf in the whole country now.
Well, Len, no doubt about it, and really the Raiders of Golf Digest agree. It's every couple of years we get to look forward to Golf Digest coming out with one of their top 100 lists. In this case, it's top 100 courses that actually you can go pay a greens fee and play. So, we know the legacy of so many of the private clubs, but when it comes to resorts and public access golf courses, through the top 100, it always generates some great debate, especially good for post-round conversations over a beer. Mm-hmm. If you have some friends that do like to travel, and you guys are my friends that like to travel and play golf, but in the state of Wisconsin, you've got overall of the top 100, they've got Whistling Straits at number 4. And Erin Hills at number 10. So interesting. I'm sure that already would spark some debate even amongst this threesome. But you look a little deeper into the top 20 and you get a few more entries from the state of Wisconsin as well. You're going to see, Sand Valley coming in at number 17. Black Wolf Run at 18. And
who
course,
voted on this?
These are Raiders for Golf Digest, Rory. So number 19, going the other way, headed south. French Lick, French Lick Resort, the Pete Dye course comes in at 19. But any guess at number 1, Rory? I think you probably got this one figured out.
Well, in Wisconsin?
No, number one in the United States for a public golf course you can play.
Probably if it's not Pebble Beach, it's got to be somewhere at Band of Noons, I would guess.
So pretty good, Rory. You covered your bases there. Number one is Pebble Beach, and number two is Pacific Dunes out in Bandon, Oregon. So heading at number three is the moving up from number four is the Kiwa Island Resort, the Ocean Course.
Fantastic Pete Dye course. Go ahead, Len.
That list there, I think we debated this. Rory and I talked about it. Ed, you got to throw your number in here. I've played 45 of those, of the top 100 of their public courses, top 100 public courses. And I think Rory beat me out.
56. I don't know. What 56.
How many? 76?
56.
56. So, Ed, you must have 100. You must have got them all.
I am. If we take the over and under on 100, I would suggest taking the under. It's actually, you know, it's a little inspiring to look at the list and think of the places that I want to yet get to. And you know, it is good to see that you know, many of these are really within a one tank trip from the Chicago area. So we are pretty lucky to be able to you know, go and play these courses in the Kohler area and headed to Michigan and elsewhere. But no, I am but the grasshopper here. You two are the masters in terms of getting around.
Well, here's the question for Len Zeem, and Golf Digest put out in their top 100 the 15 courses that are open to the public that have the cheapest and or they called it most affordable green fees.
Wait, Rory, when did you last pay a greens fee? Hold on.
Hey, well, not long ago. Actually, though, Len Zeem, of those courses with really low green fees, I've actually played 11 out of 15 of them. Len, how about you?
You know, I don't guess I caught that part of the of the test there. I don't remember what number one is or any of the others there. Give me a clue there.
Once out in Nebraska, but, Wild Horse, I believe out in Gothenburg, Nebraska, was number one. There was some other ones there. Charlevoix up in St. Joe, Michigan, on the way to Boyne. I'm sure you probably stopped off. And the one where they play a lot of golf with the hickory-shafted clubs and stuff, that was right up there as well, number two, number three, something like that. But definitely some great golf on the list of, you know, affordable golf courses.
Well, I know we're
I know one that was left off the list that I was really stunned about was one of my very favorite courses like that is Caledonia. You know, Caledonia in Myrtle Beach, I couldn't believe that one was left off. But, you know, there's a those polls, I've never been a big believer, taking them as gospel, but they're fun for discussion. They certainly are fun for discussion like we're having today.
Yeah, Len, I think Tullymore was on that list too, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That one I know you've played. That one I know you've played because I've golfed it with you.
Well,
right. That's right.
A lot like preseason rankings for NFL and college football, you know, they can spark the debate. You know, I think we're pretty proud of the legacy of public golf here in Chicago. Interesting to see that we've got to get all the way to number 65 before we get an appearance from Coghill Dubs Dredd. So,
yeah,
you know, but.
Well, I know, you know, Ed, I know they're looking at it more from what's going to happen from a football and basketball standpoint. But with this, most of the Pac-12 joining the Big Ten, I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Mike Small to keep his run up of conference golf championships when the Big Ten, that conference that doesn't count very well, is very soon going to be the Big 18. And maybe if they can get a couple more teams from the Pac-12, they'll be Big Ten times two because they'll have 20 schools before long.
Well, Rory, always, you're getting the angle that's ahead of everyone else. I hadn't even thought into the college golf piece of that and how that will apply. But, you know, certainly we've seen so much strength coming out of the University of Illinois and some of these Midwest schools competing in ways that they just couldn't just even, you know, a decade or two ago. And it will be interesting, you know, with, with all the travel, you know, and then the impact further of the transfer portal. You know, we only have an hour show, right? So we can't even get started on these topics. But it will be fascinating. And some of these players might enjoy playing a little more West Coast golf by the time, you know, the weather gets cold and the snow starts to fly.
Well, let's see. The Big Ten Conference Championship before long will be being held at places like Bandon Dunes, Pebble Beach, Riviera, and who knows where else.
Well, on that note, we are going to tap in here and thank our guests for listening. Thank you, our listeners, for listening. listening, and thank our guest Andy Michelson, of course, our producer Brian, for getting us out to you. Until next week, we're back at 10 a.m. Until next week, hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.